Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is March 22, 2022. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen is present. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz present.
Lead Heinzman.
Present.
Representative Akam.
Present.
Representative Ackland.
Present.
Representative Backer.
Backer present.
Representative Becker Finn.
Becker Finn present.
Representative Ackland.
Ackland present.
Representative Fisher.
Fisher present.
Representative Green.
Present.
Representative Igo.
Igo is present.
Representative Jordan.
Present.
Representative Keeler.
Present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lewick. Representative Lewick. Representative Morrison.
Morrison present.
Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
And Representative Tice.
Tice present.
All right. Thank you.
Quorum is present. Representative Ackland, would you like to move the minutes for St. Patrick's Day, March 17th?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Ackland moves the minutes for March 17th, 2022. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? The minutes are approved. Members, we just finished an LCCMR meeting. I want to give Ms. Nash a moment to log in from logging off the other one. I do want to note that at the end of the meeting, we're going to have a brief announcement from Bob Meyer with the DNR about a press release that was sent out a couple of hours ago on CWD. So it'll be an announcement at the end. And I would turn the gavel over to Representative Wasilewicz if Ms. Nash is ready.
Yep, she's given the thumbs up, so we'll go ahead and start. First on our agenda today is House File 3765. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move House File 3765 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and I will move the DE amendment.
Representative Hansen has moved the DE1 amendment to get it before the committee. Any questions from members on the DE1 amendment? Not seeing any questions. Representative Hansen, I believe you also have the A1 author's amendment to the DE1
yes.
amendment. Would you like to move that amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A1 amendment to the author's, as author's amendment to the DE1. Members, this is filling in a couple of blank spots on easement management. Maybe Ms. Nash could address that if there are any questions.
I don't see any hands popping up with questions. So Representative Hansen has moved the A1 amendment to the DE1 amendment. Any further discussion on this? Not seeing any. So all those in favor of the A1 amendment to the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the amendment to the DE1 is adopted. Representative Hansen, would you now move the amended DE1 amendment before the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the DE1 as amended by the A1 amendment, and I have Ms. Nash here to do some walkthrough on the amendment. But before we do that, so the Legislative and Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources met throughout 2021, and the statute requires that it gets to 12 affirmative votes for a formal recommendation to the legislature. The LCCMR was unable to get to 12 votes. The highest vote motion was one that I did, and it received 10 votes. So the DE1 amendment is the motion that received 10 votes, during the LCCMR. When I talk about motions, the Legislative and Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources heard presentations throughout the summer. It scored the recommendations, and there is, I believe, posted, Ms. Nash, the scores from that. And in general, what this DE does is it fully funds the top ranking scores, and then it funds a next tier, the 10% cut, and then it funds a second tier, the 20% cut, to allow some of the lower rank scores to get filled. And Ms. Nash can describe and walk through the bill.
Representative Hansen, let's get the DE one on there first, and then we'll have Ms. Nash describe what we're doing here. So the DE one is before us. All those in favor of the DE one, please say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen already sort of laid out some comments for us, so we will have Ms. Nash jump in here and tell us a little bit more about what we're doing with this bill. Ms. Nash.
Madam Chair, members, Becca Nash, I'm the director of the LCCMR, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, and thanks for the opportunity to be here to speak on the House File 3765 as amended with the DE1 and A1 amendments. As you all likely know, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund is a permanent fund in the state treasury that was created by voters through constitutional amendment to support activities that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. It's funded with 40% of the annual proceeds from the state lottery, as well as income from investments managed by the State Board of Investments. LCCMR is a 17-member joint commission that's responsible for making recommendations to the legislature on how funds from the trust fund are spent, as well as for conducting oversight of those approved projects and associated expenditures. So I just want to acknowledge those of you on the committee today who either serve or have served on the LCCMR. We have Representative Acomb, Hansen, Lewick, Morrison, and Tice, and recent past members, Representative Eklund and Heinzman. LCCMR's recommendations are typically result from a multi-stage competitive process, starting with proposers submitting applications in response to our annual RFP. Proposals are then reviewed and evaluated, members hear presentations where they're able to ask questions of the proposers. Research projects undergo additional external scientific peer review, and then top proposals are selected and put into bill form, which, as Representative Hansen said, requires a vote of at least 12 of the 17 members in favor of that. The bill is then presented to the legislature for your consideration. As Representative Hansen mentioned, the commission was not able to achieve the required votes on appropriation language. And so what you see before you in the DE amendment aligns with the Hansen amendment as shown on a spreadsheet that I've included in your packets for today. And I can explain that those other options in a moment, but first I'll just say that the amount that was available for allocations this year was $70,881,000, and that's determined by calculating 5.5% of the value of the fund on June 30th prior to the start of the biennium. And then we also had one project that had to return money from last year, so that got added and brings the total up to $70,959,000. In response to our RFP, we received 189 proposals requesting about $142 million. LCCMR invited 99 of those proposals requesting approximately $106 million to present to the commission over 5 days in July. And then following presentations, members individually scored each of those remaining proposals. And what staff typically does is we collect all those scores and we calculate the average, and then we put it on a spreadsheet and list those proposals in order of high to low based on average member scores. And so that's what you see in the spreadsheet in the meeting materials, which is called 2022 allocations at the top. On the right side of the spreadsheet are various funding options that were considered by the commission. We also show the date of the last action and any result, so that you'll see that there was a motion actually that happened on August 22nd that was subsequently withdrawn. Hansen, what we call the Hansen Amendment, closely aligning with the DE amendment, was actually an amendment made to that motion. There were several other options that members considered in voting on. The other one that received a high vote was the Young option with 9 yeses and 6 noes. So the top two of those options were the Hansen Amendment and the Young option. And now those appear to be the starting positions of the House and Senate, respectively. There's a range of scores of 31 to 93. And basically the difference is that the Young option selected the top 97 proposals and Hansen selected the top 74 proposals. And with that, Madam Chair, I can just do the walkthrough, continue with the walkthrough.
Yes, please do that. Thank you.
Okay, so Madam Chair, starting with the first page, the total appropriation, as I said, is $70,881,000. We have the foundational and natural resources data and information category, and this aligns with the LCCMR's priorities. And in that subdivision, we have 18 projects totaling a little more than $10.6 million. Subdivision 4 is water resources. In that category, we have 15 projects totaling $6.45 million. And Madam Chair, I apologize, but I forgot to point out that the Hansen DE amendment has 2 changes, and one of them was a substitution for a project because we had a project withdraw. So you'll see on page 7, subdivision 3R, there's an insertion of a replacement project, chronic waste and disease pre-on soil research. And that appears to be the same language for a project that received a prior appropriation from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. I'm going to move along to subdivision 5, which is environmental education. There are 12 projects totaling $4.638 million. Subdivision 6 is aquatic and terrestrial invasive species. There are 2 projects in this category totaling $6.404 million. In subdivision 7, we have 2 projects. This is air quality and renewable energy, 2 projects totaling $1.772 million. In subdivision 8, we have 14 projects totaling $14.441 million. In subdivision 9, which is land acquisition, habitat, and recreation, there are 10 projects totaling $26,097,000. And it's within this section on page 23 that we have the 2 projects with the conservation easement stewardship blanks that got filled in with the A1 amendment. And then subdivision 10 is administrative and emerging issues. We have 2 appropriations in this category totaling $382,000. And then subdivisions 11 through 17 are rider language that typically gets included in our LCCMR bill. And then subdivision 17 has the carry forwards that the commission had a hearing on previously, with the exception of one addition of a project to extend their appropriation, and that's a prior appropriation to extend it 1 year. And that's it for me, Madam Chair, unless there are any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nash. We will open it up for member questions now. If folks have any questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen.
I would just note that Senator Ingebrigtsen and Senator Westrum have agreed that we would be conferencing the LCCMR bill separately. It would not be as part of an omnibus bill. So that is why we're moving it to Ways and Means today.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. I see Representative Keeler has her hand up.
Thank you, Chair. My question is for Ms. Nash. You mentioned the 12 education projects. I really love education opportunities. I'm just wondering if you can give us some geographic information on that. Are we seeing more projects in greater Minnesota? Where across the state, you know, being a greater Minnesota representative, that matters to me. So if you could just highlight the geographic area of those 12 programs.
Ms. Nash.
Madam Chair, I can take a look at these and give you my best answer. There's Teacher Field School. That is a statewide program. Increasing K-12 student learning with Osprey-wise Environmental Learning Center. That is focused on the 5 environmental learning centers, accredited environmental learning centers around the state. So that has broad distribution as well. I'm looking at these other, and they all appear to be statewide projects. One exception I know is that the engaging a diverse public in environmental education, that's paragraph D, that is explicitly focused on outstate areas.
Representative Keeler, did you have a follow-up question?
No, that's it. Thank you for letting me know. I just think that I want to encourage everybody in the mind frame when they're coming. We have a lot of greater Minnesota rural members that information is important for us, especially if we're going to talk about it in this space. So just encouraging us when we come back, we're able to highlight those in some of these conversations. Thank you.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And not to obviously rehash the discussion and the difference between proposals that are before, but this represents still a very controversial proposal within, at least from my perspective, within the LCCCMR, and the fundamental difference and why it didn't get over 12. And again, this is personal opinion as a member, that is simply it does not reach down small enough into the smaller programs, and it frankly sends too much big picture money to the major folks out there. And when I talk about major, talking about the DNR, talking about Bowser, talking about MPCA, and those folks have got tremendous capable staffs that are able to make their case in a very sophisticated way. So I don't support this. It didn't reach that 12 consensus within the group, and so within the LCCMR. So frankly, it shortchanges that small applicant, as far as I'm concerned. Again, that's personal opinion, and there's no need to re-debate the hours and hours of time that 17 people could not reach a consensus, a 12-member consensus on what's before you. So I can't support it. It'll hopefully be worked out in conference committee, but that's an explanation of why I can't support this as it's before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. We're going to go to Representative Akam first, and then we'll come back to you, Representative Heintzman. Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing this forward. And this was my first year on LCCMR, and talk about learning a lot. I learned a lot from each and every one of the applications that we got to read, and I think part of the purpose of having the LCCMR is to pick the ones that that are most appropriate and most of us chose is high value. And so I think that the Hansen proposal that we're looking at today is it's those proposals that got the highest prioritization by members on LCCMR. And so I think that I support this. Clearly, I will support it today. I'm hopeful that going forward in conference that we can come up with some sort of an agreement. I think that this proposal got the highest votes of any. And so I certainly support it and hope that other members will as well.
All right, next on the list is Representative Backer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would have to also agree. It concerns me. I know we're not going to re-debate this. That's not our responsibility. But when you don't have, well, there's been a tradition set in the past that certain numbers are needed. That is, as we are all aware of in this body, that's where negotiations work, compromises happens, and that's where the voice of the people is heard. That's also in committee. So I'm quite concerned that we're moving something forward that in the past has not had the same strong support. So I'm not going to be supporting that. And there's other reasons for several of the bills. There's some of the things in the bill projects that don't excite me. But at the end of the day, we do have a process, and there's historic evidence that that process has worked in the past. So, and when we were in the majority, we heard the importance of having that unity coming from the board when there was 12 or more. And I think that that should stay here today, stay here this year. So that's my two cents. I will not be supporting. I do appreciate the time, Madam Chair.
All right, Representative Green, you're up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Ms. Nash. First of all, we'll say it's very difficult. I like to go through these projects, but there's a lot of projects to go through, so I usually wait until I see what is coming out of the committees before I start going through them. And in this case, I didn't really get a chance to look these over. And when you did the bill walkthrough, it was kind of fast. And so just this is an example. Could you maybe explain? There's a couple of them here that kind of caught my eye, but on page 3.17, status of Minnesota blueberries and related berry species, can you explain that project to me?
Ms. Nash. You are on mute, Ms. Nash.
Madam Chair, thank you. And members, yes, and I'm just looking to that project. Madam Chair and members, this is a project that's going to be looking at blueberries as well as three other related berry species. This is a native and wild species of berry in the state, but they reproduce clonally. So the issue with that is that they're finding that there is low genetic diversity in these berries, which creates a potential for a collapse in the population. And so what they are going to be doing is they are going to be looking at the genetic diversity of these species and determining if there is anything that can be done from a management perspective to ensure that this kind of iconic berry in the state can be well managed for a long-term future.
Representative Green?
I want to look a little more into that because that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't really sound like there's any kind of a plan. It looks like they're just jumping into it. But there's so many in here. I'm afraid that hopefully this bill is going to come back after, and I guess we'll be debating it on the floor so we can go into these. But, you know, you can go right down the list. Even if you go up to 3.6, how to prescribe fires affect native prairie bees. I would hope that we'd had that information already, but can you explain that one to me too? How are they gonna test that?
Ms. Nash?
Madam Chair and members, there has been some research done on prairie fires and their impact on pollinators, but this one is focusing specifically on ground bees, ground cover bees, which are the most important bees in the prairie landscape. And so they're gonna be doing test plots and doing prairie burning on one and not on another, and they're going to be measuring the number of species and the impact on pollinators. Representative Green, and this is
thanks. And, you know, and I could go through a lot of them, and I'm not going to do that now because I want to read through all these projects before we get to them. But I will say, in looking at some of the stuff I've seen already, we've got agencies in conflict with agencies. You know, we're looking at some of the stuff that we heard on the native prairies and what they want to do, and what and one of their tactics, I guess, for lack of a better word, when it comes to farming these plots of land, and they are farming them. They're just farming weeds instead of crops. One of the things that they use to control the invasive species that are there is burning. And so now we're going to have to spend money to do a study on the effects of the burning. We're screwed up big time. So that's all I have for today.
All right, Representative Jordan, you're up next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Hansen and Ms. Nash, for being here today. I'm also really excited to dig into a lot of these programs. I'm really excited and energized by a lot of them. And if you need any civilian help looking for below zero bugs, let me know. That sounds like a good way to get outside next winter. But I'm curious, Representative Keeler actually sparked a question that I had. And I was curious about, jobs in the outdoors and diversity. Can you tell me a little bit more about why the Metro is not included in that? You know, we have a lot of people who would like to work in the outdoors, and we have a lot of diverse citizens here in the Metro, just as many or more as in greater Minnesota. And as much as I want people in greater Minnesota to enjoy and work in the outdoors, I want my constituents to have that opportunity as well. So can you tell me a little bit more about that project and why it's not serving the Metro area?
Ms. Nash?
Madam Chair and members, and that's just because this group already has funding from us to work in the Metro. So this is just a complementary project. It's got focused on some outstate areas.
Great.
Representative Jordan, anything else?
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about more what that project is then and what exactly goes into encouraging new and different sorts of people to have careers in the outdoors?
Ms. Nash?
Madam Chair, members, that project in particular is work to do restoration projects on public lands in certain areas of the state. And in this case, they're also going to be increasing their outreach to diverse and underrepresented communities, whether that means, you know, racial, ethnic, or economically challenged communities. And so they're hoping to recruit some interns to work on the projects, and then also to be a conduit to some of the local communities as well. So getting them involved to learning how to do the restoration, learning how to be a site manager, and helping to put on these planting events. This group relies on volunteers primarily to, they have staff to put together kind of restoration plans, but then they also hold these events and bring volunteers and allow them the opportunity to, you know, take down buckthorn or plant trees and native plants. So getting somebody kind of as an intern paid and mentoring them and how that whole process works is both including the local organization, the local communities to an extent, but also increasing the stewards for tomorrow.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Ms. Nash. That sounds like a great project. I'm really excited that I'm going to be able to support it today. I think it's important when we think about these LCCMR projects is these aren't just fun and games. These are investments in jobs in our communities. These are putting people to work, working to conserve what makes Minnesota so special. And one thing that I think everyone on this committee loves, which is getting outside. I also think it's important that we're protecting what we have and making sure that we do have our native bees, or we do have bugs below zero, or we do have genetically diverse blueberries. And so I'm really great that we can take this vote today to support both the people working in the outdoors, our constituents who are employed here, and future generations who would like to make sure that they have an outside and natural resources to enjoy just as we have. So thank you, Ms. Nash, Representative Hansen, and all the members of the committee for your work this year.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a question, but I do have some comments, and it might take a few minutes. I enjoyed a number of years as chair of the LCCMR, one of the co-chairs, was there prior to Director Nash coming on board, and I'm glad to have been a part of of getting great new leadership. Thank you, Director Nash, for your job as you've shepherded this this group and the recommendations and all the work behind the scenes. I do have some concerns, though, not related to the work that the director and staff are doing, but it does seem as though we may have been recently running into more challenging times. And I believe over the last 4 years, we've had more situations like this where we can't get a consensus amongst the membership, more of that than we've actually had recommendations. If I'm wrong, someone could correct me once I'm kind of through my thought here, but it's incumbent upon our leaders to find a path forward. You know, the folks that are appointed and selected to go through the projects and try to develop a recommendation to the legislature. And for whatever reason, that isn't happening. And Chair Hansen, you and I even talked a few months ago, and I was half joking, but very serious. You know, are we going to get an actual consensus from the members of the citizens group and the legislative group and those appointed to the LCCMR? Are we going to get 12 votes? And I think at that time, there was hope that that was going to happen. Well, here we are. And once again, we do not have consensus. And I'm not going to get into trying to figure out necessarily what the motivations are of people. We don't do that here, but it does raise a lot of questions. And in the minds of some, and I can't really defend the concerns that they have, there's folks wondering if something is broken, and I can't help but wonder if that is the case. And we probably need to take a serious look statutorily at where we are today and how we got here and figure out what we can do to rebuild this so that it's functioning again. Because at the moment, it appears that it's not. And then we get all kinds of folks coming in, and they have all their suggestions as what we need to do to change this bill. And it really, what it does is it puts, or change the recommendations, it puts the problem forward or advances the issue to the point that we may not get an LCCMR bill this year. That's been a problem in the past. In the last 4 years, we've had that, a delay, and we very easily could have a delay again, and the money could sit on the bottom line. It may or may not get funded. And to Representative Jordan's point, you know, this has a huge, well, at least a significant impact economically in Minnesota. And there's a lot of great stuff in here. There's stuff that some people don't like. There's stuff that a lot of people do like. But it does need to get done. And if it doesn't, that's unfortunately a failure of what should be working very well. And I think that there's going to be some proposals forthcoming. I may have one of my own to try and get at the difficulties and the problems that appear to be persistent and ongoing. Hopefully we can figure out what's the part of the issue, but I don't know that we've gotten to it yet. And be interested to see, Chair Hansen, what your thoughts are. But we definitely are setting up a poor example going forward, and we, I think, really need to take a hard look at this thing.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Heinzman, for your comments. We did, just to be clear, the 2020 LCCMR recommendations were held up because of the clean car standard. The 2021 recommendations were passed unanimously by the LCCMR and were adopted last year, I think, in total. There were some, I believe, and Ms. Nash could correct me, some cancellations that we provided some dollars for. She's nodding her head. This year, if members want to take a look at what Ms. Nash provided, I think is posted, there were multiple attempts at compromise, multiple proposals over a series of months. And Representative Lewick is actually right. There is a difference of opinion, a different philosophy on how the LCCMR should work. Should it be merit-based? Should the members, whether they're citizens, Senate, or House, who work on this and hear the presentations and score them, should the scores be recognized? And should we be merit-based based on those scores? Or should we spread the money around? Should we, that I believe Ms. Nash noted that the other proposal funded 97 out of the 99. So it makes sure that everybody gets some funding, even though, almost everybody, even though that may be not enough to fund that project. So do we spend the time and the effort to do the best and to pick the best? Or do we see that this special constitutional money should be spread around? I believe we should pick the best. That's what Minnesotans want of us. In addition, the spreading the money around means funding projects that are often capital in nature. And the commission has had to go back several times to go back to their projects that are not sound. They were not ready for prime time. They did not have to do the same capital work that Chair Lee bills have to have when they go through the bonding committee. And so I think an important reform is to make sure that when there are capital projects, that they have to meet the same criteria that other capital projects do if they're funded out of this money, that they meet the constitutional requirement. Representative Heintzman, I agree with you that I think it's going to be very difficult to go to the ballot, to go to the voters to renew this amendment, unless there are some changes to the LCCMR. I do want to note, you know, with both legacy and this, that the makeup of the commissions that distribute the money is not usually in the constitutional question. That's a statutory requirement that needs to be changed. I also agree that the world has changed since the last major reform of LCCMR membership, and that 12 members, 12 out of 17 may be a high threshold. Maybe 17 members is too many. Maybe there should be equal number of Republicans and Democrats, so there's not a partisan advantage. Maybe the House and Senate appointees should serve 2 years instead of 4 years. Maybe there should be term limits. I mean, I think those are a number of things, and I think the bill after us, after this bill today, by Representative Jordan, gets to some of the issues as well of how are the citizen members compensated? Can they take the time to spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day if they're in working environment? So I do believe there needs to be change before we go to the ballot. This is the highest ranking score, the highest ranking vote of all the effort, a very frustrating effort that went on last year. And therefore, I'm moving it. I don't wish we didn't have to. I wish we could have a unanimous vote like we did in 2021. But this is the cards we were dealt. I wish we would have come to an agreement, but we weren't. So it's important for these projects and to the project proposers and to the Minnesotans who voted for this amendment, and hopefully will vote for another amendment in the future, that we pick the best projects. And that's what I think this proposal does.
Representative,
thank you, Madam Chair. I think that we are at that point with the LCCMR that there could be bipartisan support for a number of the suggestions that you're making, Chair Hansen, and that term limits, shorter terms, a number of those things absolutely have to be considered. We do have membership on the LCCMR that has served decades. And that, while you would think may be good to have institutional knowledge, may unfortunately also lead to entrenched perspectives that, I mean, my goodness, this failed by one vote, Chair Hanson. I mean, this, not one person could look to try and figure out a way to help build consensus and give the legislature a recommendation. And I'm not gonna try and assume or figure out what, like I said earlier, those, you know, those folks' intentions might be. But the public is left wondering, as well as the rest of us, what is the strategy here, if there is any? And I hope that isn't the case. But, you know, what is there going forward? And so I'm glad that we're able to talk about that in a bipartisan way and consider what we can do to make adjustment. Not everybody's going to be happy when you're making scrambled eggs. I mean, there's going to be a mix of things that we like and don't like. So at some point, I hope that people can figure out a way to give a little and take a little, and that just doesn't seem to be happening at the LCCMR at the members' level. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewick.
Just briefly, and I want to put a maybe a little different point on the comment about merit-based. And that sounds really good, but if you take an agency like the Department of Natural Resources, MPCA, Bowser, and University of Minnesota, and you look at their bench, oh my gosh, they've got buildings down here that are many stories filled with people that it is their profession to write proposals. That's what they do. I mean, literally by job description. So it's understandable that when those great big projects come in, or a whole bunch of smaller projects come in from an agency, that their presentations and their level of what they put into those applications is likely going to get a A minus, B plus rating. And then you go to a little city with an administrator and maybe one extra part-time person out there in the middle of nowhere trying to do something constructive in their world on a creek, on a, you know, whatever. And so let's be careful about merit, because you know, if you got folks that are sitting there, and like it or not, and that's the way the system works, they have to participate if they're going to participate with the 12th graders. Well, guess what? There's lots of local communities out there with good solid projects that haven't got to the 12th grade yet because they can't afford to have that room and room and floor full of professionals. That's what they do. Is they do these very polished and frankly, they tend to be, you know, sound. I'm not saying they're not sound and reasonable, but there is a point when, and that's the job of legislators once in a while to step in and say, you know what? There's another situation here. We're taking the public's money and we're literally funneling a huge, huge amount of it directly to major agencies as opposed to much smaller, in most cases, government agencies that are just trying to do something at a smaller level. So I just want to be careful about when we use the metric merit. If you got a Harvard graduate and an eighth grader sitting in the same room and you give them a piece of paper and ask them to explain something, you're probably going to get a different result from those two individuals. But make no mistake, they're just as sincere and they can see just as clearly what the need is there from a conservation standpoint. So again, that's the gut issue. We got a huge amount of money, and what is fair and how you distribute it, and recognize all of those proposals need to be fleshed out, that they're achievable. But when we throw that merit metric on there, and then we look at the background of the applicants and what they've got the capacity to provide, some of us see that as some groups show up that by default, they're going to end up in the A-plus category because they've got that capacity. Not to mean that a C-plus or a C-type project should be discounted because it doesn't score as high. There's got to be a little more fairness there. Anyway, that's, again, you know, we weren't able to resolve this at the LCCMR level, and hopefully in the conference committee it will get resolved. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that having the time to have this conversation about how the projects get chosen. And I think, I can't speak for everybody, and I haven't served on LCCMR, but I can tell you in a very similar sort of setup in the Outdoor Heritage Council that I never made my decisions on scoring based on whether they used big sentences in the application or, you know, if there were $10 words they were using. You know, I think it is possible to look past that, to look at an actual project and to not, you know, judge solely based. I don't think any of us judge a project based solely on kind of the shininess of the presentation or, you know, how well edited the application is. And the other thing I want to bring up, I don't think there's a problem with looking at the merit of projects, but the problem may be in the way we set up the structure and in the way we choose what has value in the scoring system. And so, you know, for instance, in Outdoor Heritage, and it's similar in any of these sort of scoring, a person who had held some level of power got to choose what questions were asked and how many points they were worth, and that's going to determine the outcome. And so I hope that in this overall discussion, we're taking that into account. You know, for some of the, I don't think any of us want someone who it isn't their full-time job and they're doing this as a volunteer to be at a disadvantage when it comes to accessing these dollars and these projects. And at the same time, I also want to call out the fact that, you know, our current system is not set up for lower income folks and BIPOC communities to easily access the system either. And, you know, especially in this space, I think of one of the reasons the No Child Left Inside grant program is so popular is because we purposely made the application very easy to fill out. And the same thing keeps people out across the board in all of these constitutionally dedicated funds. And so I hope as we're having these conversations, we are also taking into account whose tax dollars, whose lottery dollars are not going back to their communities because they're not at the table and they're not presenting. Because I agree, there's too many of the same people with the same kind of projects and the same groups getting millions and millions and millions of dollars every year. But I think saying that we're not going to use merit or we're not going to like actually look at the project is not the answer. I think looking at further back in the process and how do we make that process more fair is where we should be having the conversation. But I'm very supportive of this bill. At the end of the day, these are public dollars that the public wants to see spent. And we kind of have to rise above whatever's happening on the commission so that we can move those dollars forward and get them out in the community where our constituents want those dollars to be. So appreciate the discussion and you bringing this forward, Chair Hansen.
Representative Hansen, did you want to reply to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would call out a couple of appropriations that I think are unique that maybe are important to talk about. We've been talking about some of the smaller ones, but of the DE, there on page 5 is establishing a center for the prion research and outreach. So we've had some emerging issues, appropriations in responding to CWD, but this is a $3.8 million proposal that would really send up a research center at the University of Minnesota. And, you know, with today's news, I think it's very important that we're making the scientific breakthroughs, and that takes money. and that takes support. And yes, it's the University of Minnesota, but because we've invested so far, we have made great research gains. Secondly, there is appropriation for the Terrestrial Invasives Center. Again, something we have done before, which is recognized around the country. So long-term research requires long-term investments and big investments. And just because it's a large number doesn't mean we can start from there and always take a cut to share it with others. The DNR proposals. So the LCCMR has become one of the last places where there have been appropriations for scientific and natural areas, for in-holding purchases for trails, in-holding purchases for state parks. So although those applications may be being made in the DNR headquarters, they are being invested all over the state. And if you have a trail and there is a gap in that trail, getting that purchase to complete that trail is critical for rural communities, suburban communities, and urban communities, and those dollars are important. Same with in-holdings. There may be properties that are in state parks that the landowner is finally willing to sell. And if the dollars aren't there, they can't make that sale, and it passes. It is passed on, again, into a private ownership, thus making it challenging to ever get that again. The more money we put into those, the more of those long-term challenges of in-holdings on state parks and state trails and scientific and natural areas, they can get resolved with these dollars. And so passing this bill is going to help all over the state, primarily in greater Minnesota, but it also provides research. So it is program dollars that go out into those programs, state parks, state trails, scientific and natural areas, that we have all over the state. And I'd ask for your support for that. I appreciate the discussion we've had and look forward to continuing that discussion. So I would renew my motion to move the bill as amended by the DE, unless there are other questions.
I actually had a question.
Oh,
okay. And maybe Chair Hansen or Representative Hansen, maybe you can answer this, but I just to remind the public what happens if we don't move to disperse these funds. Can you talk a little bit about that, or maybe Ms. Nash can jump in on that?
I would have Ms. Nash, but my understanding is we have kind of a 1 year where it is carried over, but then if it is carried over for 2 years, it goes back in the corpus in the fund and becomes unavailable. Ms. Nash?
Ms. Nash?
Madam Chair and members, that is correct. This is the second year of our biennial appropriation, so this would be a June 30th deadline to spend out the rest. It goes back to the corpus.
Thank you, Ms. Nash. Representative Hansen, did you have any closing comments? I think I was the only remaining question left. Anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I was texted by Representative Eklund that he was still in another committee and he wanted to vote, so I was trying to make sure he had that opportunity, but I think he is still tied up, so I would renew my motion that House File 3765, as amended, be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 3765, as amended, be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Vice Chair Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Representative Heintzman?
Heintzman votes no.
Heintzman no. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland?
Ackland, aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Backer?
No.
Backer votes no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn votes aye. Representative Eklund is still in the other committee. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green?
No.
Green votes no. Representative Igo?
Igo votes no.
Igo votes no. Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler? Representative Keeler? Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick?
Lewick votes no.
Lewick votes no. Representative Morrison?
Morrison, aye.
Morrison votes aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson votes no.
Nelson votes no. Representative Tice? Representative Tice? All right. Checking one more time for Representative Eklund. Looks like he's joining the waiting room. And Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye.
You know,
Representative Eklund?
Concentration, that's real-time information. So if you have a blood alcohol...
Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Very low to very high.
Eklund votes aye.
It's visible.
Thank you, members. Madam Chair, there are 12 ayes and 6 nays.
All right. The motion prevails and the bill is on its way to Ways and Means. And with that, I will turn the gavel back over to Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wozlik. Next up is House File 4428 by Representative Jordan, per diems for Natural Resources Board. Representative Jordan, will you move that House File 4428 be recommended to be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 4428 be recommended to be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee.
Representative Jordan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm presenting House File 4428, a bill to raise the daily per diem rate for a number of state boards under our jurisdiction from $55 a day to $125. This bill attempts to solve a problem we've all pondered. How do we make sure our state boards represent the interest of all Minnesotans when there is a lack of regional, economic, racial, gender, age, or ethnic diversity on our boards? One issue I've heard from Minnesotans is they cannot afford to serve on boards. Many cite taking time off of work as a barrier. Others say they have young children and cannot afford the childcare. A perennial complaint I've heard from Greater Minnesota is the ability to drive in and pay for gas and other travel expenses. None of these should be barriers to service. That's why House File 4428 proposes the increase in the daily per diem for public members of the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Commission, the Minnesota Zoological Board, the Minnesota Forest Resources Council, the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, the Board of Soil and Water Board of Soil and Water Resources, or BOWSER, Clean Water Council, the EQB, and the LCCMR. The $125 amount would bring these boards and commissions in line with those serving on watershed commissions and SWCDs. The per diem increase is only for public members, and it is permissive. This also means this increase does not apply to legislators, and so my apologies to Representatives Hansen, Akam, Lewick, Tice, Morrison, Eklund, Heintzman, Keeler, and Beckerfend, and it also does not apply to agency heads. That's the bill in a nutshell, Mr. Chair. I would like to turn over to public testimony.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. First up, we have Kitty Weston, League of Women Voters, Minneapolis. Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair Hansen and Representative Jordan for inviting me today. Yes, my name is Kitty Weston, a member of the League of Women Voters, Minnesota. I would like to express my support for House File 4428, authored by Representative Jordan, increasing per diems for natural resources boards, councils, and commissions aligns with the League's mission of empowering voters and defending democracy. Moreover, everyone in our state is connected to the environment. I am the Advocacy Action Director of the League of Women Voters Minneapolis, one of 36 leagues in Minnesota. Our organization has a long history of prioritizing issues that increase civic engagement in a nonpartisan manner, especially for women. Because of the current low stipend, folks with lower incomes, people from Greater Minnesota, parents and young adults can be left out of an important discussion in our state. And in fact, these groups often face increased rainfall and pollution the hardest, and they could bring a valuable perspective and urgency at the administrative level. Cutting down on the cost for people to leave work and travel to meetings is an important solution to increasing government transparency and implementing effective policy. Increasing the diversity of these boards will advance the League of Women Voters' priorities of democracy and environmental stewardship. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify today in support of House File 4428. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Jeff Broberg. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jeff Broberg. I'm a former LCCMR member, and I wanted to speak today in favor of 4428 and thank Representative Jordan for bringing it forward. I first served on a commission that got a per diem in 1997. The per diem hasn't changed since then. And in one regard, I think it's important to understand the outsized benefit that the state receives from all of the people that volunteer on these committees. High levels of thought and activity go into this from a lot of people on these 10 boards and commissions that you're naming. But there's also a missed opportunity. It's been fairly well stated this becomes a barrier. I've tried to recruit members over the years. And when I tell them, they say, well, do you get paid? And I say, well, you get a little bit of expenses, which is pretty limited as well. And a $55 per diem, that doesn't make sense for someone to come down from Duluth or Rochester and spend a whole day. My personal story was that I own my own company. I was able to do that and take all the time I needed until I sold my company. And my new owner, who I was indebted to work for 4 more years, made me take my vacation time for 16 days a year. I was able to do that, but I totally took away my vacation for $55 a day. So just think about the impact. It's significant in that it does broaden the prospect of people coming on the boards and joining, and it continues the tradition that Minnesotans have of providing an outsized benefit to the state of Minnesota with their service. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Jordan, I'm just wanting to clarify so that I and anybody watching can track kind of how this is developing. But do we know when these per diems were last increased? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Where are we at?
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That I'm not sure of. It's been a while, though.
Mr. Chair. Ms. Nash, do you have an answer to that?
Mr. Chair and members, I just know that it hasn't been updated since 2006 when Citizens came on. It's been the same since then. So I don't know when it last changed before that.
Representative Heitzman.
It'd be nice to know. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, you know, just my next question, I guess, kind of hinges on that, but I'll ask anyway, even if the bill author doesn't know when it was last increased. But how was the dollar amount arrived at? Was that a number that somebody came up with? Where?
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The number came from the bill Representative Marquardt brought last year to increase the per diem for members of SWCDs. And at the time, there were many members who expressed concern that that per diem was only $75, and that seemed like a very low number. These boards are all at 55, and so that's where that number came from.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm not saying I'm opposed. I am opposed without the information that's missing and that I'm asking about. I'd love to know. So at the moment, I'm a no vote on the bill, but with a little more information, it might be helpful for members when this may or may not go to another committee or to the floor. I guess I didn't see where the bill's going. I missed the motion, but it is to some extent a perfect example of public service, and it's not something that I think is too out of line to ask a few questions. You know, and there may be examples of groups or committees meeting that are affected by the language where we can't find people to serve, but I'm not aware of that, and maybe the bill author is, Mr. Chair, but when I served as a watershed district manager and was plugged in at that level, the per diem wasn't the motivation. It was a desire to be participating and to be there and give back to some extent. So if people are doing this job at a loss, you know, maybe there's an argument to be made, but it would be good to have some of the information that I was requesting before we're in a position where we have to make a decision and vote on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Broberg, could you just state again, I thought you said 1997, the rate was the same.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's when I first served on a committee that that got per diem. It was a DNR Budget Oversight Committee at the time, but it was $55 then. That might be under a separate rule.
Representative Lee was up, but then he disappeared. So then I'll go
Mr.
to
Chair.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Representative Heintzman's point, I hear all the time from constituents and from people across the state who are not my constituents who want to serve on these boards. You know, I hear many, many legislators, I say it every single day, that serving is a privilege. And by making, but by limiting the amount of time and resources that people have to be able to serve, we're limiting that privilege to people who are privileged enough to take time off of work, who have vacation days. Many of my constituents don't even have vacation days. They are hourly employees, and they want to serve, but they can't care for their children, they can't feed their families, and they can't serve the state if these per diems are too low. You know, last year, I think we all talked about what a great sacrifice it was and how a per diem is a very small thank you and a way to enable service, not a payment for service. And so I think this is something small that we can do to make sure that these boards represent everyone on the state. We know, we hear all the time questions in both the Legacy Committee, which I serve on, and where this bill is headed. It's been referred to that committee next. And in this committee, where we hear from people who say, these boards aren't reflecting the needs of all Minnesotans. We just had that debate, what, 5 minutes ago? And then the reason is because all Minnesotans can't serve on these boards. And so this is an attempt of mine to make it possible for people to serve, not for people to pay for service, to just enable the service to begin with.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Jordan, with all due respect, people at all income levels in all situations in life are serving on these boards. I don't think it's fair to say that they're not. That would be a misstatement. And in my own situation, I certainly was not well off, but it was something that I could do to give back. We didn't have a lot. I didn't need a lot to be there and to serve. So from one perspective, I understand what you're saying. More often than not, people are in all walks of life taking the opportunity to participate and let their voice be heard. And I don't think the argument that this is going to be a threshold maker where people all of a sudden are going to decide, okay, the per diem went to thus and such, I can now participate. I don't think that we're on the same page here. While even though I may agree that we could consider raising per diems, if it's been since 1996, I think, as Mr. Broberg said, it certainly should be revisited, but it would be nice to absolutely have the facts. That's all I'm saying.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Heintzman, I will be happy to find out when the last time this was revisited, but the facts are that our current low rates and the lack of availability for people to serve on these boards is impacting the people who serve on these boards. And that is a fact that I hear from people across the state.
Representative Wasilek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Jordan, for bringing this bill forward. I think it's important to remember that not everybody across the state has the same experiences in life that we do. Not everybody has a spouse that can take care of the kids if they need to go to a day-long meeting. Not everybody has paid time off, so they can take part in these things. Not everybody has access to other sort of resources that they need to participate in. But I don't think this is going to, you know, convince 90% or, you know, a certain percentage of people to do this. I think there are other reasons why people maybe aren't. I do think that there are some folks who are sort of on the edge, right, of saying, you know, I don't know, maybe I could do this, maybe I could swing it. And I think for those folks who are in that situation, that this actually would be something that would convince them to do it, to take that next step and to actually become part of the process. So just wanted to thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think it's important that we do more to make these types of public service accessible to everyone in our state. Thank you.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Wasilek, for that. Your experience is what I hear from my constituents. I mean, I can tell you that the idea of serving on LCCMR and learning more about genetically diverse blueberries, which is my new favorite phrase, is not something that I would have been able, it's not something that I would be able to do with my job. I do not have that many paid days off. I already have to take a leave of absence to serve in the legislature. And making sure that I could replace that income to just even allow me to serve. And I'm someone who is not someone who would be considered low income, but I know that this barrier and this lack of per diem increase and these lack of services available would prevent me from service. And it prevents a lot of Minnesotans from service. So thank you, Representative Wasilek, for your comments.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'm perplexed why this is even, how we are not all in agreement that this is obviously something we should support. How many of you on this committee take per diem? Per diem is $66, and we all know that's not enough either. I just can't emphasize enough what Representative Jordan and Representative Wasilek have said. You know, we sort of have a similar issue in my committee when we talk about juries and we talk about jury pay. And we have to recognize that there are people who have different lived experiences and different access than we do. And I'm really supportive of this. It seems like a no-brainer. The more we can do this across the board, I think the better. If we can do this for soil and water conservation district folks serving their communities, I don't know why we wouldn't do the same for these committees, especially when, you know, I think of the Outdoor Heritage Council and how important it is to have statewide representation. I know one of our newer public members, she travels all the way from almost the Canadian border. You know, that is a big commitment, and she has enough wealth that she's able to do that. But if she was a single parent working another job, that wouldn't be a thing she'd be able to do. And so I think anything we can do to make this type of service more available to more Minnesotans, I think, is a really good thing. It's the least we can do. So thank you, Representative Jordan, for bringing this forward.
And just to clarify, Ms. Nash just texted me that in 1990, so 32 years ago, it went from 35 to 48. Is that correct, Ms. Nash?
Mr. Chair, it went from 35 to 55. My apologies.
35 to 55. Okay. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry to pipe in again. I feel like we've kind of been chasing our tails a little bit. I did specifically ask for some information as to how per diem increased numbers, amounts were arrived at and when, and the bill author didn't know. So to some of the comments being made, it's on the edges of questioning motive, even though I am specifically asking these questions. And then we're making comments about why everybody on this committee wouldn't support this is whatever. It's getting a little silly. It does seem like something that needs to be revisited. I said that. We'll continue to say that. We're just asking some questions, trying to figure out what the historical context is for this and how the number was arrived at. And it does here and now sound like we have an idea when, which 1990, that's quite a while ago. But still wondering, is the 125 number something that is just arbitrary, or whether it's been some specific formula that was used? I think that's fair to ask those questions without casting any dispersions.
Representative Jordan, could you restate what you stated before?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The $125 amount came from a bill we heard last year, which was the increase for soil and water conservation boards. I would also add that the last time this increase happened was before I was even born. And so it has been quite a while. That doesn't mean that I should have known that, but it's been so long that I was not even alive the last time these boards got an increase. And so I think it's high time that we revisited them. I'm happy to do so. And I think it's actually important for all Minnesotans, not just the Minnesotans who serve on these boards, to be able to see more diversity in terms of geography, age, gender, ethnicity, because that's who these boards are supposed to serve. These boards are supposed to serve everyone, so everyone should have an opportunity to be on the boards.
Representative Heintzman, one last time, and then we'll close with Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, Representative Jordan, you're making a number of claims, and you could assume, based on some of your comments, that you're saying these boards are not diverse, that they do not have membership from across the state of Minnesota, and so on. Is there any evidence to support that? I have no idea. You haven't presented that. Asking questions is the opportunity that we have right now. That's why we're doing this process. We're asking questions. So I continue to agree that this is something that should be discussed.
Thank you for your support, Representative Heintzman.
Representative Jordan, did you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to thank Representative Heintzman for his support and his agreement that we need to revisit these per diem levels.
Representative Heintzman, you still have your hand up. Representative Becker Finn has hers up. I'm going to go to Becker Finn and then to Heintzman and then once more try to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have an answer, at least for the Outdoor Heritage Council. I was the first BIPOC person to ever serve on the council as an Ojibwe woman, and that was not a public appointment. That was a legislative appointment. And last year was the first time we had a BIPOC member of the public. Dudley Edmondson from Duluth was appointed last year. And that's so just as of, so two people on the Outdoor Heritage Council. So we definitely can do better, and I'm glad that we're in agreement about that.
Representative Jordan to Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Becker Finn. You know, I'm the Vice Chair of the Legacy Committee, and I often ask these very boards that are before us today about diversity, and they admit they need to do better. They say that they need more resources from the legislature to do better. They say they need to have more diversity of applicants apply and be able to serve. And so this is an attempt to do that. These are something boards are asking for, even if they haven't necessarily written this bill. That's my job, is to write bills as a legislator, as all of us know. And so this is something that boards have admitted, is that they struggle with diversity. They struggle with regional diversity. They struggle with age diversity. They struggle with racial diversity. And this is a way to help them struggle less.
Representative Heintzman.
No, I don't have anything more to add, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. I think that we've thoroughly discussed this. So I will not be supporting the bill yet, but maybe with some more information that could happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 4428 be re-referred to the Legacy Committee.
Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 4428 be recommended to the referred to the Legacy Finance Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Lead Heintzman.
No.
Heintzman votes no. Representative Akam.
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, no.
Ackland votes no. Representative Backer.
Backer votes no.
Backer votes no. Representative Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn votes aye. Representative Eklund is excused. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Representative Fisher votes aye. Representative Green.
No.
Green votes no. Representative Igo. Representative Igo. Representative Jordan.
Jordan, aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick is excused. Representative Morrison.
Morrison, aye.
Morrison votes aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Nelson votes no. Representative Tice.
Tice votes no.
Tice votes no. Checking one more time for Representative Eklund.
Eklund, yes.
Representative Eklund votes yes. And checking one more time for Representative Igo. All right. Mr. Chair, there are 11 ayes and 6 nays.
The motion prevails. It's on to legacy. Next up, we have Assistant Commissioner Meyer to give a quick announcement of the committee regarding a news release that was put out earlier this morning on CWD. Commissioner Meyer, welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for the record. Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. I'm always happy to get a copy.
Commissioner Meyer, we're losing your, you've got the wavy voice phenomenon there, so could you try again?
Yeah, let me just shut off my meeting, or my video here. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Still wavy.
Chairman. So I'm just going to go with what I have for a signal. We've received a confirmation of a CWD positive deer in Grand Rapids, right in the town of Grand Rapids on March 15th, I should say. This deer was reported as an adult doe that died in the backyard of a residence there. We collected the carcass and submitted the lymph nodes for testing to University of Colorado. The results show that the deer died from a collision with a vehicle, but it had tested positive for chronic wasting disease. This is prompting us to update our chronic wasting disease management plan. We'll be instituting a public process to do so, but we're going to be updating the response plan, investigating options for hunters to use a self-mailing kit for free testing statewide for next hunting season, and also upgrading and improving our current design for self-service stations, as well as doing some immediate surveillance and culling work in the Grand Rapids area to see what if the infection is persistent up there. This new discovery doesn't make CWD a statewide problem, but it does mean that we need to take a more of a statewide approach in our surveillance outlined that I discussed, and we can discuss with you in greater detail in the future. Will give us that statewide perspective, Mr. Chairman. It's unfortunate that we found this discovery, but it doesn't change our strategies or our plans moving forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Commissioner Meyer, is there a deer feeding ban being instituted then in the Grand Rapids area?
Currently, Mr. Chairman, because of the Beltrami County issue over in Zone 169 by Black Duck, Itasca County is part of a feeding ban right now. We will be expanding that feeding ban to St. Louis County and other adjoining counties that are not part of that ban as per our current plan. So that will be done through our emergency rule package here shortly.
And there would be culling using USDA sharpshooters like it's been done in the past?
Mr. Chairman, yes, immediately upon discovery, we've been working with local landowners and county governments to secure permission to conduct those activities as soon as possible. Time is of the essence to get them done within the next couple of weeks before the deer disperse for spring and the snow melts. So we will provide updates as they are available to the results of that surveillance work.
Members, we did not have this on the agenda. I wanted to make sure you provided the announcement and a couple clarifying questions. You can contact the DNR, Commissioner Meyer, for additional information. And Commissioner Meyer, is the press release posted or can that be made available to all members of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, it is under our press releases, under our webpage. I will make sure that we get it sent out to staff to distribute to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And with that, members, we have committee on Thursday with the Clean Water Fund and also on Friday. So as we move towards the deadline, we will have both deadlines. We will have a very busy schedule, and I want to thank you for your work. We are adjourned.